her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
But no, actually today, every day the big voice guy says, here's Jen Latta. And every day Gabe Neitzel pops in. So, but actually today, good morning, everybody. Happy to be back. Did you miss me? Don't answer that.
We had plenty of people asking on the Car Blues Talking text line
did
where you
fired?
Were.
Did they say did
no,
she
no.
get fired?
No, they were just asking where you were.
Did she finally swear her way to unemployment? That's what they were wondering. Very busy week of travel, very busy week of stories, but a big story this week on College Game Day, guys, and so I encourage you to tune in. I have a big story on College Game Day. Very remarkable young man. We can talk about that as the show goes on. And speaking of remarkable old men, I know it wasn't the perfect segue. Forgive me, I'm rusty. Did you see this stuff from Joe Flacco gang? Joe Flacco, you're familiar with him. The Packers played him twice.
They've already played him twice. He's not even in the division.
Joe Flacco might be a national treasure, right? Is he approaching national treasure?
I mean, he's 40. Is he 40 or 41? He's in his 40s. I know that.
That's not old.
In the NFL, it's ancient.
Yes. 41's not old. Just a number.
Okay. Yes, we're doing that.
We're going to have an existential crisis on the air.
If you,
Chewy, what are you doing with your camera there? Why are you so close and what's going on?
Because I'm looking at my computer. I'm looking to see who's injured. I can multitask.
No, you can't. No. You're ruining the broadcast.
Okay.
Josh, he was staring at your nose hairs, apparently. Is that what was happening there? I can't see it. There's a screen up on my screen, so I can't even see the thing. Oh, there it is.
Now we're back. That screen was up because I was trying to follow his face as it moved off and on the camera and above it and below it.
You bobbing and weaving over there? What are you, Muhammad Ali? Joe Flacco had this to say. Josh, you got the sound from Joe Flacco this week? Because I feel like this is very relatable for every man out there.
Go sit at a restaurant by myself and realize that, man, that's pretty enjoyable to do. After there's not too many situations. I tell people all the time. I mean, I used to see guys sitting at a bar by themselves or, you know, just sitting by themselves eating and grabbing a little meal. And I'm like, man, I feel so bad for that guy. Like, you almost want to go join him. And now I realize, like, that dude was in heaven.
It's fantastic. That's tremendous. Sitting back, enjoying himself, a little peace and quiet, a little time just for him and his thoughts over a cheeseburger or whatever he's having.
See, I don't...
Steak?
I don't think that's weird. You know what I think's weird is a person who plays golf by themselves. I find that highly weird.
Oh, Dario does that all the time.
Very peaceful.
Sometimes really? He can't find somebody to play with and... Because she travels.
Well, you're on the road a lot. All right,
so
yeah, I was going to say.
Existential crisis. Jen is just letting secrets out about her marriage. And we're not even five minutes into the show.
All right, here's the deal. Because this happened to my buddies the other day. Right? They're playing as a threesome.
Yeah.
The guy is behind them playing as a single. They wave him through and he decides to join them. My buddies didn't want him to join them. I don't want anyone that I don't know
well,
playing
golf.
Well, wait,
maybe
with
this
me.
Was just a miscommunication. You waved him through. Maybe he thought that...
Come on down.
Correct. They were saying, join us, won't you?
Gabe, no. That means play through, not...
Correct. If you're on the golf course, you know. And when I play by myself, like if I'm coming up on a group, like first of all, you have to be like cognizant is of, okay, who's ahead of them? Who's ahead of them? If you can actually play through. And if you can't, maybe you just, you know, you work on your chipping a little bit more around the green. You throw down a second ball. You hit that into the green. Just do whatever you can because you're not going to be able to play through them. I am never going to ask to join a group. If there's a threesome, they're like, hey, why don't you join us? Yeah, maybe I will. But as a single, like, I am not just going to go, hey, guys, can I join you today? That's just not how I would approach that.
To be honest, though, Gabe, your situation might be a little unique because... I think there might be golfers out there who would want you to join their group. If they recognize, oh, it's the famous Gabe Neitzel, golf extraordinaire, I think they may say, you want to join us? Right? That's more likely than your average, you know, everyman who might be out on the course. Yes? No?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
What about this? Because this would happen to me a ton of times. I'd put three guys on the tee sheet, and then someone else would put their name on as a fourth, and I'm like, I don't want to play with you. If I don't know you, I don't want, I'm sorry. I don't want to play with you.
And, okay? I mean, if,
would you
if,
do that?
If the golf course is jammed, like, you got to
no,
suck
it's not
it up.
Jammed.
Then you got to suck it up. Or the,
I,
or the
you know
pro
what
shop,
I would do?
Or the pro shop is doing it because you're playing early on a Saturday and they don't want a single just wandering out there.
No, that wasn't the case because there were slots all around. I'd wind up having to cancel the whole. I would.
Well, that's
I don't
why
play
I figured
with
that.
So
would,
it no? seems like you would be very much the guy that would eat by himself,
thank
the
you.
Way Joe Flacco
yes,
is.
Yes, exactly. So it seems yes. like what you're telling yes. us is you would be in line with Joe Flacco, who is sitting by himself at the restaurant. How often are you guys eating alone? Whether it's at home, whether it's at a restaurant, whether it's here at work, you're sitting at a table getting some work done through lunch. How often are you eating alone?
Handful of times
well,
a week.
50%?
How many times?
Maybe
30%?
Yeah, maybe 30%. It's just two or three like dinners a week. If I happen to be here, it's late on a Saturday or Sunday or something like that.
What's
Wife's
the ideal?
Working late.
What's the ideal half. Percentage of eating alone? Once a day? Twice a day?
Half.
Well, there's three meals a day. So
yeah. I'm thinking here. So there's two different things, going out by yourself somewhere and eating versus I'm at home, no one else is around type situation. The I'm out eating alone happens very seldomly.
I could not tell you. I have done that before. I'm not sure the last time I did, though.
Yeah, no, I find ways to do it, weasel my way into it, find options where it's like, hey, go spend a little time alone, pop up at the bar, have a game on, have a meal. I relish those things.
There is no doubt that I am the leader in the clubhouse for meals alone. Even though I have all of the children and
say,
all of the people.
You've probably had, what, four or five, six, seven, eight meals already this week by yourself?
Yeah. Some of them in the car, on the way from one place to another, several of them at airports, sitting there just housing a burger at a gate. Yes, so those all count as solo meals,
have
right?
Have you traveled and hit all the major airport hubs enough where you have favorite spots in those airports for food?
I have favorite spots at many airports across the country. I would not say all. I hadn't been to Phoenix, which is where I was on Tuesday, except for when I was covering spring training, either Maryvale or Mesa. I think it's Mesa.
Yeah.
So I was not as familiar with their game. They did have a... what's my place? Fork. Orange chicken. Fork.
Panda Express?
I did have a Panda Express as soon as I got off, but it was very early in the morning. I said, can I eat Panda Express at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time?
Sure.
The answer was no.
I mean, the answer is open. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Open and busy.
Well, because again, if you flew cross country, like if you're coming in from New York, it's 11:30. It's basically lunchtime.
Yep, that's why they were open, I suppose. So no, I was a little surprised at the options at the Phoenix airport, but like Minneapolis, Detroit, Atlanta, I got spots, I got places, and I'm usually eating by myself, and it's very peaceful. Here's the one thing I will say that sort of changes the game: everybody's got their phones now, so yeah. They're watching a movie, they're scrolling through, they're watching a game. Every day, I get a notification that tells me that being on your phone that much is bad for you. Now, that might be the algorithm doing its work, but I think Chewy's got the right idea. He's on his phone the least of the four of us. And look at how well he's doing. Thriving, if you will.
How was waking up and watering the grass this morning?
It was peaceful, although there were people walking by, so I had to... And it was dark, so you got to let them walk by and then go check on the grass. I don't want to talk to anyone at 6. And you know what the love?
You don't
want
to talk to anybody at no, regardless
no,
the time of day.
The lovely thing is, we wake up at between 6 and 6:15. My wife doesn't want to talk in the morning, which is great. There's nothing wrong with silence. Talking is overrated,
says the talk show host.
Man, Gabe and I are in lockstep this morning. He just keeps saying things that are in my brain, getting ready to out, and I'm like, you can hold on to that one.
Yeah. Like, I used to go to bar and eat by myself when I played.
Would people leave you alone? Or is this when you were the long snapper and people didn't know
you? Column A, column B.
Okay.
But you just go to places where people leave you alone. Because chances are there's people that are doing the same thing you are that don't want to talk to people either.
And it's just, but it's just so much easier now. I'm surprised Joe's going out to have the food, because it's just so much easier to have the food come to you in 2025. Like, that's the one thing that the pandemic changed. Like, either A, everybody's got carryout, or you can just DoorDash it.
Right? See, I see, like, that as BS, Gabe. Gabe, that's BS. When are we going to stop blaming things on COVID? People are lazy.
I'm not blaming anything on anyone. I'm just saying that's a fact.
I'll go to Chipotle today, and I was there a week ago, and I counted. I was there for 15 minutes, and there were 15 DoorDash drivers that came and picked up stuff.
Well, what if they're people at work, too?
He didn't consider that. If you wanted to be frank about it.
He
thinks everybody lives life like he does, and they should just
pick it up.
Why isn't anybody else watering their grass in the morning?
I get on my kid, and it's different when you have young ones, Jen. I get on my kids who are all in their 20s that order DoorDash for dinner. I'm like, get your ass in the car and drive down there and stop wasting the money. I think it's ridiculous.
Chase and I did have this conversation, my 16-year-old and I, the other day, because I said, do you want to go to college or do you want to keep DoorDashing? Because right now you're spending your college tuition on DoorDash, okay? So maybe we take a break. I also don't want him just out and about bopping around town in his car. So there's a...
Column A, column B. Some balancing that needs to happen in your life.
Correct.
I mean...
I see it as such a... Like, what's DoorDash cost? Like, if the restaurant is 5 miles a day, what's the added charge for DoorDash?
5 miles a day. It's like 25 to 30%, depending on the business. It was originally made to be a convenience, a thing of, hey, I'm really busy right now. I got a bunch of stuff going on. This is going to be a good option to bring me food that I typically wouldn't be able to get. It's either not in the area, it's either super busy down there, and now it's turned into merely just I'm going to choose this for dinner every day because I can bring anything at the tip of my fingertips. It has become more of a regular thing to people than just like a luxury or I have a special circumstances that this would be necessary.
So do you like eating alone? Joe Flacco was talking about how his family stayed back in Jersey. He's in Cincy. He's eating alone. He's in Cincy now, right?
He was in Cleveland. Now he's in Cincy.
So hard to keep track.
Family's still in Jersey. They haven't moved.
So hard to keep track of where Joe Flacco is these days. Ryan from Iguanago weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line. He says it's probably just the hotel bar restaurant where everyone is alone. Did you get that vibe that he was talking about the hotel he's staying at or like wherever he's staying? No, he's going out to restaurants and he's sitting and he's eating alone. I got to tell you, there are days where I want that and I just want the peace and quiet and the opportunity to kind of be in my own thoughts or read my book. And there are other days where I'm like craving the interaction with my family. How was your day? What did you do? What did the teacher say? Anything interesting happen? So, I like, again, the variety. I like being able to have both. Eating alone at the airport is not the same as eating alone in your neighborhood Olive Garden. That from Nick in 314.
Great.
Olive Garden getting a little shout out there. yes, I think, but I do think most of my solo meals do end up being at the airport these days.
The sweetest spot to be is the local establishment where they know you and you can have a brief conversation with the employees, but then they leave you alone for most of the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. That is like right where you want to be. Hey, the regular, you say, yep, you have a chit chat. How you been? How about the Packers? And then the rest of the time is basically grunting and would you like another water?
Do you have a spot like that?
Yes, I do.
You want to reveal it or you want to keep it to yourself?
I can. The neighborhood draft. It's very near to my house. I go there with friends and by myself. And I'm friendly with everyone there and it's great. It's everyone treats you well. You're kind of just left alone to your own devices and then you move along with your time.
Norm from Cheers over here, everybody. Uh-huh. Right? I could just see Joshy sitting at the bar like Norm from Cheers. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do you like eating alone? Do you enjoy it? Do you relish it? Do you feel a certain kind of way when you get the opportunity to eat by yourself? I do like this guy, Chef Ed, weighing in this morning saying that he didn't miss me at all. Gabe is better at running the show. He has a better radio voice. And he said, sorry, just saying. Chef Ed, I certainly missed you while I was gone. Jason Wilde coming up next.
Transform the way you do business with Fifth Third Bank's commercial payment solutions. Our market expertise and managed services streamline your entire payment process, seamlessly integrating with your existing systems to give you unparalleled control. Discover new revenue sources, save time, reduce operating costs, and boost your bottom line with the customized payment solutions that Fifth Third offers. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros, ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
We love checking in with our teammate and friend Jason Wilde on all things green and gold. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good, everybody. How are you?
Well, happy to still work here. I thought maybe they were going to change my keys after I hadn't been here for a week, but happy to still be here. As far as people who are not still here, Aaron Rodgers, who the Packers will face this weekend in Pittsburgh. Are you going to the game?
I am not.
Oh, I thought maybe this would be the one where you made the trip.
No. Sorry.
No big deal at all. It just means you don't get to, you know, have that little face-to-face time with our guy Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers had this to say about the meeting against the Packers this weekend. Take a listen.
I don't have any animosity toward the organization. Obviously, I wish that, you know, things have been better in our last year there, but, you know, I have a great relationship with a lot of people still in that organization. And this is not a revenge game for me. I'm just excited to see some of those guys and be on Sunday Night Football again.
I would 100% believe and trust him when he says that he still has great relationships with a lot of people in the organization in that locker room. I'm a little less believing when it comes to it's not a revenge game. Do you think Rodgers will have a little something extra as he faces the Packers this weekend, Jason?
It's not revenge he's after. It's a reckoning.
Tombstone?
Yeah, thank you. One of his favorite movies. He quoted that. He used that line 4 or 5 times over his time in Green Bay. So, I don't know. Do you think that that's someone who doesn't feel a little bit of whatever you want to call it? Maybe revenge is not the right word. He made a convincing case, as we all know, that this is different than Favre. But look, is he going to encounter Goody on the field and give him a great big hug? Probably not.
Can't imagine.
Yeah, like those. So, like, does that play into his motivation? Of course it does, right? Like, it's not. Yeah, does he hate Matt LaFleur or like he's been authentically? We were talking to Jordan about this yesterday. Like, he's authentically been a good friend to Jordan and a good mentor, and he did, you know, kind of put his actions where his mouth was, and he did not treat his successor the way he was treated by his predecessor when he was the successor. But, you know, the idea that he's going to go out there on Sunday night and, you know, there's not going to be a little extra to it. You know, and he also acknowledged that it would be a lot different if he was coming back to Lambeau. So, yeah, there's plenty of there. And I agree with you, Jen. You put it beautifully that I don't doubt that he has relationships. You know, Keyshawn Nixon's another one. So he's got relationships with guys in that locker room, and he still cares about guys. And him and LaFleur are fine. I don't think, you know, they're the tightest of friends or anything like that. But they've got a good, solid relationship. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, I'm fairly confident that he wants to win and play really well against the team and remind them, hey, you know, I understand you had to go to the new guy, but if you had done things a little bit differently, look how good I still am.
Jason, I posed this question to Shefty yesterday and didn't really agree with his answer, so I'll ask you. If the Packers in the first round of the playoffs were to play Dallas, Tampa Bay, the Rams, who would you rather have out, Jordan Love or Micah Parsons?
A strange question. How did Schefter answer it?
Well, it's not exactly the question that he asked Shefty, but I digress. Chewy has changed the question to try to manipulate the answer that he so desires.
He said Jordan Love, and I disagree. I think Micah Parsons right now is more valuable to this team because I think this defense without him would be blah, blah.
We're not using our words this morning. We're using sound effects now.
Well, you used the word caca yesterday, and that entertained Shefty. I'll be honest. That entertained Shefty when Chewy said the word caca.
It's like this. Well, but that means that's the second time this week he's used caca, because he used it with me, too. Johnny Caca over there. I think we have to be careful here. And this is, you know, I am a Malik Willis fan as a person. I enjoy covering him. I enjoy our conversations. I think he's an authentically good person who played really good football for them last year. You know who also played really good football when the starting quarterback was injured? Jake Browning a couple years ago when Joe Burrow was hurt. Right, and this time around, he's been so bad that they went out and got Joe Flacco. Right.
Yep.
So, I would be leery of suggesting that if you had to play a playoff game without one of those two stars, that you'd be better off without the quarterback. I'm going to politely refuse to answer your question, and now you're going to try and ask it again.
Well,
so you can get what you're looking for.
I just think LaFleur can cobble a game plan together with Malik Willis.
He's proven that. You're right.
There's no cobbling without Micah Parsons. There's none. With how questionable these defensive backs have been so far this season in giving a quarterback 5 seconds to play, how the hell are you going to stop him?
Yeah, I agree with your premise. You know, I'm a little bit like James Campen. James Campen never wants to say, if we're missing this guy because he's hurt. He always does these goofy, well, if he breaks a shoelace, you know, we got a good backup and so-and-so. Or if he breaks a chin strap. I don't think the Packers are winning a playoff game without either of those guys, because I think it's important to remember how small the margin for error is in a playoff game, and you're not playing any cupcakes when you get to the postseason. So I will agree with you on this. Micah Parsons is incredibly, incredibly important to what this defense does, and they haven't always taken advantage of that, right? Whether that's good coverage or whether that's other guys getting home when they're singled up because he's double and triple teamed. I just want to emphasize again that the Arizona Cardinals, congratulations. You have told everyone in the league, don't be as dumb as we were. Make sure you double and chip and thump and everything else against Micah Parsons, because we were idiots to leave him singled up as much as we did.
Our conversations with Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment, lakelandsupply.com. Josh Jacobs limited yesterday, and I know he had to stump for himself, convince everybody that he was good to go. And then he was upset, Jason, that the Packers wanted to put a snap count and a pitch count on him with the calf injury. But the fact of the matter is, he has a calf injury. How much longer do you think this is going to linger and going to be a battle for him to get the snaps that he desires and continue to play.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to thank Matt LaFleur for pushing the schedule back yesterday, which allowed me to go to his press conference, which I'm sure was an absolute treat for him, and then go to practice, because I don't usually get to do that because of our show. And I watched Josh Jacobs out there bouncing around like a kid. I mean, he is definitely I am not going to be the one that says you're only allowed to play 20 snaps. But to your point, and to the phrase that we say all the time, sometimes you have to protect players from themselves. As you certainly know, with one of the members of our panel who played in the NFL, sometimes they're dumb, and you have to try and make sure that you make them less dumb and protect them from being dumb. And Chewy, you played through stuff you probably shouldn't have. All these guys have. You want to go back to your point, because I like Emmanuel Wilson, but add Josh Jacobs to your little equation there of, do you want to play a playoff game without Love, without Parsons, or without Josh Jacobs?
No, thank you.
The prospect of trying to win, trying to win without Josh Jacobs doesn't sound very appealing either.
Well, because as much as I like Emmanuel Wilson too, Jason, he hasn't been effective this year.
So, and Jacobs is just different, right? I mean, he is special. Like, LaFleur had a great line yesterday about the run that he has before the touchdown that gives them the lead. You know, we all think about the fourth down play because, you know, of the way that played out. But, like, they still had to go in and score after that. Tucker Kraft didn't get to the end zone. And LaFleur had a great line about how, you know, this one, we had the one run by Josh where, you know, we blocked that for, he says, to gain minus three. And it ends up being like an 8-yard run or whatever. Like, he makes you better than you are on plays like that. Now, was there a touchdown in the Cincinnati game where they were all joking that it parted like the Red Sea because it was blocked so well? Yeah, there was. But there's lots of times when he makes something out of nothing because of his sheer will and willingness to and ability to run people over. And so I do think you have to protect him. I admire the fact that he wants to play through everything. But you guys, we talked about it last week. Calf injuries make me nervous because they sometimes lead to Achilles injuries, which are season ending. So I think that he's a smart guy, but the stuff that he talked about and pushing, I think it's important to emphasize, he was medically cleared to play in that game. It was not, you're not cleared, well, forget you guys, I'm playing anyway. But he definitely was pushing to play more than they wanted him to. There's no denying that.
Jason Wilde hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Christian Watson was listed as a limited participant in practice on Wednesday. He said, it is my goal and plan to play this week. Jason, will we see Watson on the field against the Steelers?
Yeah, I think we will. Like, I think the way he was talking, I don't think they would keep him in the dark on that, right? Like, they would have told him by now, hey, we're going to activate you. Like, just get through the week, but yeah, we're gonna have you. He said he's going to be on a pitch count, but I think he's just so happy that he's going to play. He also had a great line, because I am, as you guys well know, going to worry about everything and anything. It's like one of the worst surfaces in the league. And his response when we asked him about that was essentially, look, if I'm worrying about the surface, I shouldn't be out there in the first place. And I tend to agree. At the same time, I don't know, Jim. Like, when you've got the people who play for the team that call Acrisure Stadium home talking about how bad it is, like, it's one thing for Rodgers to complain about Soldier Field, right? He only plays there once a year. But when it's bad enough that the guys that play there, all their home games there, are saying how bad it is and how they need to get hit out of there so they don't have college games on the same weekend as Steelers games. I don't think that's optimal to have a guy come back from an ACL on that surface. And I don't blame him one iota for wanting to play. But I want, and there's no guarantees of him being completely healthy playing at Lambeau Field. He tore his ACL playing at Lambeau Field. But, man, I want to give him, if it's me, the best conditions possible. And that stadium and that field do not do that.
Do they still have a roster spot available?
They promoted Monk, or they activated Monk.
Yeah, they activated Monk and they signed Haversick.
And they signed Haversick. So I don't think, I'll be honest, I have not counted.
Okay.
I don't think they do, though.
Yeah, because that was the Monk thing caught my eye last week, because they had two roster spots, they activated him.
Correct.
So if they activate him, they may have to make a corresponding move.
If our math is correct. I know Josh is back there counting all 53 guys on the roster, so I can
count on him to make me right. Josh, put your shoes back.
You know what Josh is doing? Josh is doing what I'm doing, which is imagining Matthew Golden and Christian Watson on the field at the same time. I'm giddy about that prospect.
And then Tucker Kraft just being wide open over the middle because so much attention is going to the outside.
Absolutely.
I thought forcing a target to Romeo Doubs, who has a guy in his hip pocket, was the answer.
Josh, yeah. Awesome. Hey, Jason, we appreciate you. I got so many things I want to ask you, but you know what? Maybe I should show up to the show more often if I want to ask you all of those things. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Make a list. We can ask him tomorrow.
I was going to say, so won't talk to you tomorrow. So stay for next week.
Dude Friday, right, coming your way. Thanks, Jason.
Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tosh right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Am I the only one? Christian Watson coming back? I understand that there's a little bit of like, I hope it works out. But like seeing Christian Watson back on the field, that gave me a big boost of energy.
I'm curious what the pitch count is there. Right? Because I don't think they're just going to like throw him into the deep end. He hasn't played football in 10 months, an actual game in 10 months. My guess is they ease him back in and he plays...
Is it 15
to 20 snaps? Does that seem right?
Yeah.
Is it because Wicks isn't going to play?
Got to be part of it.
I would imagine that would factor in if he was a non-participant with his calf yesterday.
Yeah. Well, could they put Wicks on IR? To open up a spot?
But if the calf injury is not bad enough, I don't think they would want to do that.
Yeah. Well, who are they going to cut?
That's why I was asking Jason if they had a roster spot available.
Okay.
When it comes to your home,
was that a moment of silence?
I don't know for who. When it comes to your home, the smart play is trusting Gina Della and her team at Pella. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, keeping out the drafts. So don't wait. Schedule that free consultation today at PellaWI.com. And like so many of us here at ESPN Milwaukee, you should be trusting Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
have.
Six, seven.
I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost, and seven, five, 309.
On 94.5 ESPN. Hit it!
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapist match commitment. What does that mean? It means BetterHelp does an initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. They have a short questionnaire. It helps identify your needs and preferences, and they have 12 plus years of experience so they can match you with the right therapist the very first time. But listen, if they get it wrong and you aren't happy, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. 30,000 therapists on their books, the largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally, and they have a 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. If you find yourself asking questions, facing challenges, needing help, BetterHelp can help. Our listeners get 10% off their first month. Just call #250. That's #250. Say the keyword timeout. That's keyword timeout after calling 250 for BetterHelp's help. I want to touch on this Christian Watson thing, guys, because I think it's a big deal. You know, there is the possibility that the Packers, you know, they were talking about the situation with Josh Jacobs and sometimes how you have to protect a player from themselves. And I think Jason is, as we know, a cautious guy, Chew, just generally speaking, not even specific to players on NFL rosters. Would you hold Christian Watson out, maybe have him start a home game, more comfortable, more familiar, or if he's ready, he's ready. Let's get him out there and see what this offense can do with him, even in a limited snap count situation.
If he's ready, he's ready. I like what he said. If he's worried about playing on this field, then he shouldn't play. I think the pitch count would be higher. I see it more of in the 30s. Because he's ready to go. I mean, he was probably ready to go in his mind maybe a game or two earlier. So I just let him play. But I'm with you guys. I'm going to be very interested to see the groupings they put him in with, where they play him.
What would you do, too?
Who goes?
If you have those receivers, that offense at your disposal, what would you like to line up? And again, not every snap, obviously, but ideal.
Like three receiver sets, I would put Watson at X, which is typically away from the other two. I would put Golden in the slot and Dobbs at the Z with Tucker Kraft. That's tough to stop. You know, obviously, I think in that situation, they're probably going to play cover two, you know, just because of the speed, which allows you to do a lot of different things. Gabe mentioned it earlier. That brings Tucker Kraft into, you know, the mid-level routes to the deeper routes because they have to honor that speed in the defensive backfield. And if they're going to do that, you know, then you run the ball. They have to be able to run the ball against cover two. That is the best defense to run the ball against, okay? Because it takes your safeties out of the play with run support, and typically your corners are not great tacklers. So that's another way to get them out of cover two if they're going to be in zebra personnel, and then you can think about going long.
I mean, that's kind of been the issue, though, right? Like, teams have kind of realized they don't need to have that extra defender in the box and still they can be successful trying to stop the Packers' run game.
And I don't
That's ultimately been a big issue, Chew, where teams have gone soft and they just haven't been able to take those big shot plays the way they were earlier in the year because teams were committing that extra defender to the run. That left them susceptible on the back end. Mm-hmm. Now they're kind of having the best of both worlds. So running the football, again, it comes back to me. If they're in that cover two, Chew, got to be able to run the football efficiently because ultimately that's how you take advantage of all the speed that you can put on the field is if you run the ball effectively, make them pay attention to that, and now they got to pick their poison on the outside.
And it has to be an offensive line issue because it's body on body. You know, you have enough guys there to block their front. So it's got to be an offensive line issue. I mean, because typically in cover two, you're booking the corners, and the receivers are up on the safeties, which even make it better. So I don't know. It's just something's off because the running game is not as good as it was last year.
So here's a detail that I think we need to address before we move on here, guys. How does this affect the snap count for some of these other guys? How does it affect the targets for some of these other guys? We have been banging the drum that we would like to see Matthew Golden getting more targets. If Christian Watson is on the field, does that take away from Matthew Golden's targets? Or to your point, Chew, the Wicks injury has sort of evened that stuff out. Can Matthew Golden continue to get more targets as we would like to see him get as the number one wide receiver in our minds and in our hearts while also working Watson into the offense, Chew?
I mean, typically Golden and Watson are both X's, you know, and LaFleur wants them to learn everything across the board. But no, he's going to lose reps, especially if Wicks is going to be available to play. he'll probably hang at the pitch count that he's at right now. I don't see it elevating, you know. But he will stabilize his reps, or he'll lose reps. That's just what's going to happen.
I mean, Christian Watson was fifth on this team in targets last year. It's not like he's a high volume guy. You know, he's that home run hitter that they have. You know, three wide receivers plus Tucker Kraft all ranked ahead of him last year. So I think, especially if Wicks ends up being out, and with Reed still being out right now, I think there are still plenty of opportunities to go around for Matthew Golden to get the snaps that he needs to continue his development.
But what Watson does typically is he has a big game, right? He's mm-hmm. had big games.
Oh, yeah.
And then he kind of disappears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he'll have six catches for, I'm sure he's been over 100 yards in his career.
So, game. Yeah. So twice, to your point last year, Chu, twice he went over 100 yards. He had four catches for 150 against Chicago. The very next week, zero catches on three targets.
Yeah, that's what he... He's kind of Aaron Jones-ish.
Yeah. Four catches for 114 yards in the loss against mm-hmm. Detroit. The next week, three catches, 56 yards. So decent, but then the week after, nothing for nothing.
Has like anyone had a 100-yard game this year?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No, no wide receiver. Tucker Kraft's gone over
100. Yes, no wide receivers.
My question and the issue that I think could arise here is, right now it doesn't seem like there's simply enough targets in the offense to have anyone truly be an emergent factor or be like considered a true wide receiver one. And adding to that is only going to subtract from everyone else in some form or fashion. I don't know if it's going to be, hey, he gets three targets in a game, so now Matthew Golden is down to one, or Romeo Doubs is down to two. I do think just because of the low volume in the passing game, it's going to be interesting how you, not only as Chewy's told us time and time again, keep them happy, but you run an effective offense that is targeting your best players with the requisite amount of frequency.
And they haven't run a lot of plays this year, it doesn't
like. That's the other part.
They haven't
had that's what I was
games,
saying by targets.
Yeah, sure. But they haven't had a lot of games where they've been in the 70s or even touching 80.
I think last game they
were 50, which is crazy. Crazy low, but
when your defense gives up a drive that lasts 10 yep. minutes,
yeah,
you know, that's what happened against Cincinnati. There was a long drive in the game against Arizona. When your defense give up those long drives, that again ends up reflecting on your offense when you end up not running that many plays
and you don't run the ball very effectively, so mm-hmm. A drive stall out, things like that.
Well, the last game, third down efficiency was not good. 3 for 10, I think it was.
They're still number one in the NFL in third down efficiency.
Don't crazy call guys. Colin Coward.
Second in the NFL for explosive plays in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, oh yes, Christian Watson coming back, they're going to really bump up that explosive plays number. No, 13% of their plays from scrimmage result in an explosive play. So they're doing just fine with explosive plays, even with Christian Watson out. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to. I see you popping off in the comments, guys. I know you want us to talk about Bucks. We got a lot of stuff to get to in the second hour of the show, but we certainly can talk about the Bucks. Opening night, last night, getting a win over the Wizards. We'll talk about that and more as the show rolls on.
Looking for a newer, nicer used vehicle? The Ewald Automotive Group can help increase your purchase power. During their used car rate reduction sales event, shop 600 quality pre-owned vehicles with no money down, no payments, until 2026. Interest rates are coming down, so let them try to improve your situation today. It costs nothing other than just a few minutes of your time to check them out. You'll be glad you did. So just go to ewaldauto.com, find out locations, inventory, and more. Ewald Automotive, a place you can trust. I've trusted over 10 years. People in Milwaukee have been trusting for over 60 years. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No. Not how this
attaboy.
Works.
Attaboy.
That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Up for a game? Potawatomi Sportsbook is right there with you. For all international games and matches, the Midwest Best Sportsbook opens early. Place your bets, kick back, and enjoy the show on an absolutely enormous video wall. Then grab a cold one along with food from a menu packed with flavor. Not up for watching a game, but still want in on the action? You can wager on any sport, anytime, at the quick service kiosks. Bet above the rest at Potawatomi Sportsbook. Always, I know you'll be And speaking of games, guys, I got a tiny game for you here as we wrap up the first hour of the show on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I am doing an interview tomorrow on Friday with an icon, an American icon. And I want you guys, based on the clues I'm about to give you, to try to guess who it is. You ready, Chew?
Yeah.
Put the microphone by your face, please.
Josh is getting so exasperated.
So annoyed.
The first clue for you guys is this person's real name is Stanley Kirk Burrell.
Okay.
Will Ferrell.
Incorrect.
Good guess.
That was a good guess.
Good answer.
Loves football.
Yep.
USC. Okay.
Number two. Before he became famous in music, he worked in Major League Baseball, spending several years in the Oakland A's organization.
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi is famously like from the East Coast.
I know, but that's
like the one thing
name.
I know about Bon Jovi.
Well, but it actually is his real name. It's like Bon Giovanni or Bon Jovi or something like that.
Is it really?
Yeah. Do you know his son is married to the chick from Stranger Things? 11?
Huh. 13.
13. Millie Bobby Brown. 13. It is 13.
Millie Bobby Brown would correct. Be her name, Josh.
Yeah.
You guys got that one. Good job.
Isn't he also, they have like the wine business, the rosé business?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
He owned a team. Didn't he own a team with John Elway?
It was an AFL team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might have owned, they eventually may have owned the league. I mean, if you would have told me that, I would have believed it.
Yeah.
I do feel like perhaps this is the clue that is going to.
We've already got a correct guess here in the private talking text line.
I saw on the Carbless talking text line that John has gotten a private correct guess as well. His signature style included a specific kind of baggy, flashy pants that became a 90s pop culture symbol. God.
Bobby Brown.
What the?
It's MC Hammer, you dip bleep.
Same guy, Gabe.
It is not the same
Bobby
guy.
Brown.
Bobby Brown and MC Hammer are not the same guy.
People knew who I was talking about.
Nope.
Yeah.
You didn't know who you were talking about. I'm interviewing MC Hammer tomorrow, you guys. Really? Do you want to know why?
Hammer time?
Well, yeah, it's going to be Hammer time. I'll tell you that right now. The running backs coach at Arizona was the lead choreographer slash dancer for MC Hammer during that entire era. He actually created the Hammer dance. He created that.
Really?
And now he has his players. He's the running backs coach. He actually has his players do what they call a typewriter drill, where he has them mimic that footwork just again to create the idea of fast feet and being able, you know, to move through your drills quickly.
Well,
but
how does one go from choreographer to football coach?
Yeah. So he did that for, I think, 4 or 5 years. And then he was like, I can't do this forever. You know, he loved football, grew up playing football, became a coach in high school. And then he was in the Oakland area and he was the guy who all of the scouts would come and see, like, who do I need to know from the Bay Area? What players do I need to know? And then he ended up hooking up with the coach Brennan, who is the head coach at Arizona now, but they were at San Jose State together and blah, 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 blah. And now he is basically the associate head coach at the University of Arizona. So that is our story for game day next week. And I get to interview MC Hammer.
The coach probably should have choreographed a way to block Micah Parsons, that dumbass.
He doesn't know which Arizona you're talking about.
The Cardinals.
Yeah, he is the
what is Jen,
coach.
Hold on.
What?
What program does Jen work on?
Oh, sugar. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
He was really proud of that pop. Uh-huh. He's like,
I am going to
end this first hour on a banger. That's what he thought. That's what's going through his mind.
Yeah, I did. That's on me, Josh.
Yeah.
Not the Cardinals, you dip bleep. Then Gabe and Chewy rolls on after this.